Labor Commerce will now come to order. It is 3:25 on April 1st. There will be no jokes today. Now, where was I? With us today, we have Representative Heron, Representative Reinbold, myself, Chair Olson, Representative Millett, and Representative Sadler, Representative John, Josephson is excused for the meeting. He's definitely got whatever's going around the building, and we preferred not to spread it to this room, so we gave him a pass. I believe Representative Chenault will be joining us momentarily. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and please shut off your cell phones. We haven't had any bagels all year yet, I don't think. Two items on the calendar today. First is House Bill 187, Occupational Licensing Fees. And to present the bill will be Don Habiger from the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, and Crystal Koneman, who is the Special Assistant to the Commissioner of DCCEDD. Now please join us. And thank you again, and I'd like to apologize. We let the Resource Committee run a few minutes late. They were in the middle of public testimony, and we thought we'd help them out a bit. But please take yours, read yourself onto the record. Here, you know the drill.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Koneman, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce.
And for the record, my name is Don Habiger, Director of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's a pleasure this afternoon to introduce to you House Bill 185. 87. I need Crystal. House Bill 187 has been in development for a little while, and I'm going to talk to you about that development as well as how we settled upon this particular plan in the bill. In the introduction, the division over time has heard from a number of their constituents, and when I can say our constituents, we have 63,000 professional licensees in the state. And from time to time, they talk to us about rates, particularly rate increases. And one of those examples or events occurred in October of 2011. And this particular increase was through a draft regulation project that the division put out. In this case, it was for the Real Estate Commission and their licensees. And the Real Estate Commission decided that they were going to have comments about that. In fact, their comments came out in such a manner that it became a press issue. And in November 1st, 2011, the Juneau Empire picked up this article, and they wrote the headlines like this: Legislature hears complaints about real estate licenses. Agents, brokers urge huge increases be scaled back. Cut costs. So we have a, if you will, a clientele that does become vocal when increases are, in this case, significant. About that same time, in fact, July 2011, Legislative Audit released a special audit report entitled Select Occupational Licensing Enforcement Issues, Recommendations Include. And they made a number of recommendations. Recommendation number one was to annually adjust fees in accordance with state law. State law currently says that the department shall annually review each fee level, and they are to make adjustments when revenue and expenses are not approximately equal. And I also want to emphasize AS 801065 talks about each occupation. And I just want to place that in your mindset for a moment, and then we'll come back to that. Actually, I don't. I want to hit it right now. Each occupation, yes, each occupation is a significant issue, and it's one of the drivers of House Bill 187. Each occupation, in this case, in this ledge audit, defines it as a subgroup of one of our programs. AS 0101101 has a list of all the programs and the chapters. Ledge audit says that we are to take each of those programs and the occupations under that and set fees according to that occupation. Why might that be a problem? And I want to talk about guides for at this point in time. Guides have one program, it has one chapter, but underneath that they have master guide outfitters, they have registered guide outfitters, they have Class A assistant guides, they have assistant guides, and they have transporters. Ledge audit is saying that if we were to follow down to the letter of the law, we would have tracking systems for, and this is revenue expense, for each of these occupations. HB 187 is our response to some of these issues. One of the things I want to point out now is that when I came aboard with occupational licensing, I wanted to get a mental picture of our universe of fees. And I realize it's small from where you're sitting, and the intent really is to show you the, if you will, the universe of licensing fees. We have here each of the occupations listed out, 115 different occupations based on that definition. We have across the top all the various fees that we have. Right now, statute requires us to have licensing fees. It identifies a number of fees, examination fees. These are all listed out. We even have copying fees on this chart. Over time, the fees have grown to over 400 different tracking points or fees that we keep track of. HB 187 is an attempt to reduce that tracking burden. And we have 3 points to 187 that we would like to bring to the committee's attention and ask for your support on that. The first one is extending the cycle of time in which we can potentially make fee adjustments. To bring that to point, I want to talk about the nursing board. In at the end of FY12, the nursing board had $1.299 million in a surplus. It's their cumulative surplus. If we were to follow statute according to it's written, we should be giving that back to them. But what it doesn't consider is that their revenues and their expenditures were not approximately equal. If you look at their FY12 and 11 and 12, which is a biennial cycle, two-year cycle, revenues and expense, we see that they're eating up $1 million in additional expense over revenue. Given these parameters, it makes sense that if you could extend that surplus out over time, you could begin to level out their fees. Right now they're paying $175 in fees, and we would like to extend that over time, not give all that money back to them, have a discussion with the board, and set a fee that begins to stabilize instead of having spikes and valleys. So that's one part of HB 187. The second part is collapsing of fees, and it is simply addressing the issue of each occupation. Pointed out to you guides that if we were to track those at those micro levels, it would become overly administrative burdensome. Another case in point, just to add another bit of emphasis to that, is the medical board. The medical board has a physician fee, an osteopath license, a podiatrist. Interestingly enough, a podiatrist, we have a in FY12, we had 26 podiatrist license licensees in the state. And the other thing that we are aware of is that sometimes investigative costs can be, investigative procedures can be costly. In FY12, we had one case that went over $100,000. If we were tracking at that micro level, at that occupation level, and if it were a podiatrist that was under investigation and it happened to be $100,000, distributing that cost across that very small group could mean a fee fluctuation in a single cycle based on current statute of over $3,000. So it's addressing some of these issues that we are putting before you in HB 187. And then lastly, the third part of this is to allow general fund appropriations for public protection. The division is specifically requesting $1.7 million in appropriation to cover investigative costs. We think that all of Alaskans benefit from public protection, not just licensees. And it is this protection that we all should share in. It is that time cost of investigations that can lead to incidents of spiking in fees, and it's that we'd like to address. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll give it to Crystal Kahneman.
Thank you. As Don did mention, again, this is Crystal Kahneman for the record.
Crystal, could you read yourself onto the record, please?
Absolutely. Crystal Kahneman. Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce. As Don mentioned, one of the big drivers is are the investigative costs. We do want to make sure that licensees do hold a piece to that, so we are asking for the investigator's personal service cost, which means the time that they specifically spend on the investigations. We would still allow for the licensees to pick up any administrative hearing costs, mediation, or other legal costs. So there's, I hate to say it, but a little skin in the game, just to make sure that they are responsive and paying in to those pieces as well. As Don mentioned, it is, we feel, a public protection for all of Alaska, and it's your constituents, our constituents. They are the ones that we hear from. I did want to give a quick rundown of the bill. There are 48 sections, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that we're not hiding anything and what those entail. Sections 1 and 2 of the bill are cleanup language. They now would reference the new establishment of fees under Section 4. Section 3 of the bill is amended to remove the specific types of fees. As Don mentioned, we are well over 400 different types of fees, exam fees, application fees. This would give the department the latitude and the ability to work with the boards to determine which fees that they would like to specifically pay for. It would relieve some of the administrative burden on not only the division but also the licensees on the different types of licenses that fees that they would have to pay. Section 4 is really the heart of the bill. This is the language that that Don mentioned that does those number of things. There's 7 different pieces to this one section, so I kind of wanted to walk through that a little bit more carefully. It allows the department the ability to establish the fee levels using fees collected for licensing groups plus appropriations. We already established fees through regulations, and this would allow the ability for other appropriations. Our ask are the investigative service costs, but it does not bind this legislature's hands nor future legislature's hands. That is open for discussion. The second piece in 08-01-065 is the ability for the department and the division to average licensing group's revenues and expenditures for current and prior licensing cycles. It also says that the department may reduce a fee if the department finds that the calculation of that fee is significantly higher. We understand in some professions, as Don mentioned, the realtors, their fee increase was 149%. That's very significant, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything as not only the division but also at the department level, that we're not burdening licensees with astronomical fees to reduce the economic development in this state. That is a big piece. We want to see businesses open and ready to do business. So we want to make sure that we're conscientious of those fees that the licensees have to pay. If we do average their revenues and expenditures out, the department shall recover those regulatory costs in future licensing periods. Also, another piece that this section does is it requires the department to post any of these fee reductions on and increases on the internet, so everybody is aware of what those costs are. And we shall consider recommendations of the board while we're calculating these fees. And the last piece that 08-01-065C does is gives a definition for the regulatory costs. Section 5 and 6 of the bill are additional cleanup languages for to reference the new establishment of fees. Section 7 is the piece that actually defines what a new licensing group is. As Don mentioned, legislative audit has come back regarding the term occupation and how we have to calculate this. This gives us a little more latitude, and so we're not going at such a granular level, and we can actually raise those up to the full board level when we calculate those fees. Section 8, 9, and 10. This is some cleanup language, not in reference to the establishment of fees, but prior language had referenced that these fees for the Public Accountancy Board were to either be set or collected by the board. Technically, the department is the one that sets or collects those fees, so that's just language that cleans those up. Sections 11 through 26 reference the new language in Section 4. Section 27, along with updating it to the new establishment of fees, it changes the word usher to ensure. So just grammatically fixes that. Section 28 is cleanup language. Section 29, 08-68-100A, it removes a reference to a section of the bill that will be repealed. Sections 30 through 34 are cleanup language. Sections 35 in the pawnbroker's statute is amended by removing an actual dollar amount that was set out for a renewed penalty, as that will be incorporated in the new establishment of fees. Sections 36 through 43 are additional cleanup language. Sections 44 of the bill set out the 32 chapters that are repealed by this. I know in your packets you do have a breakdown of exactly what those statutes are. And Section 45 of the bill is transitional language to allow the department to adopt regulations immediately prior to the effective date of the bill. Section 46 is transitional language for current licensee holders so that they will not, there will not be any fee changes until their current licenses expire. Sections 45 of the bill allows for the transition language for regulations to happen immediately, and 48 is a January 1, 2014 effective date. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we are available for any questions that the committee may have.
I think you answered everything, Crystal. And I might add, this has been an ongoing process for several years, and I would like to take credit for having something to do with it, but it was all the people sitting in front of us and LBNA and the realtors, who I think were the first group to really experience what could happen when everything, you know, it was the perfect storm for them. But again, you guys did a great job on this, and it's appreciated. Representative Herron? Representative.
Good question. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman. On Section 4, Crystal,
yes, sir.
We talk about the subparagraph 2, or sub 2. It says you can look back for current and prior licensing cycles for the purpose of establishing fee levels. How far back do you go, or can you go, under this bill to try and figure out what historical costs for licensing fees has been?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I know we've had discussions about this. We don't want to go too far back, but I think, and Don, correct me if I'm mistaken, but we were looking at no more than three biennials, so that would translate to 6 years. We want to make sure that we're still talking relevant dollars, but, you know, having a little bit of leeway.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks again. No questions? Well, with that, I guess we'll open it up to public testimony. We do have Don Branch in the room for questions from the Department of Law. If we have anybody, is there anybody in the room that cares to testify on this bill? Seeing none, online we have Albert Fairbanks. Are you with us, Al?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today, and please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you've got our undivided attention.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm currently in possession of a hunting, fishing, and trapping license, a driver's license, and two professional occupational licenses. I'm self-employed as a Class A registered guide, and also I own a fur tannery, which comes underneath a taxidermy licenses. And I kind of got myself educated here in the last week on this bill, and I hope, as you've seen, or what I've found out, that this is a really broke system. The big picture here is you're asking persons in occupational classes to have their licenses prorated to cover the cost of investigations that are going on for people that are less scrupulous or have committed civil violations. And so I wonder why, as a person that wants to be compliant with the laws and regulations, that I should be penalized for those who are under investigation or have investigations going on. I seem that somewhat not incentive for me as a license holder to do that. We have other boards and commissions, like the Board of Game, the Board of Fish, that come to mind that you know, they make regulations, and their penal or their investigation systems falls under public safety. And I'm wondering why some of these additional, like Big Game Commercial Services and some of your other boards that you have, that they write their language up and codified so that it's prosecutable underneath, I believe it's called criminal law. I'm not for sure on that, but you know, the state troopers would take care of that and not have the cost covered through licensing.
Well, I think what you're going to see, and I hope I get corrected by the people that actually put this together, but I think you're going to see the general fund being used as the vehicle to initially get this thing up and running, and then the experience and the, it's going to be a work in progress, but the experience of the individual groups, but to compare the groups that are covered by this with the Board of Fish and Board of Game, where I think would probably not be accurate. It's literally a different kettle of fish. The people on the Board of Fish and the Board of Game are not making their livelihood off of what is being regulated. And I don't know if that helps you or not, but our intent is to level it. I can think of one profession right now that remain nameless, but has, you know, 35 or 40 members, and because of a serious problem and lengthy investigation with one member, I believe the costs were upwards of $100,000, and to apportion that over 38 members would be a significant hit. So I think what you're seeing is a balancing act on trying to find a way to do this equitably. We saw what happened with realtors, and I believe that was based on one or two claims that totally pretty much disrupted the system. We had people that were going to give up their profession because they couldn't afford the hit their part-time realtors. But again, it's an attempt to level it out and balance it out, but ultimately I think you'll see everybody paying their own way eventually. But I think this is the only way we could find that would not put a lot of people out of business, particularly people that aren't involved in the oil industry. And you know, we're giving it a try, and I hope that helps you.
Mr. Chairman, could I make a comment on that?
Certainly.
You know, certainly the Board of Fish and the Board of Game has persons that are engaged in that do make their livelihood off fish and wildlife resources.
But then again, I'm not here to debate you, but on that issue, those people have to recuse themselves on anything affecting their livelihood.
Okay.
But again, I thank you for calling in again, and who else is online? Brief and ease, we're having problems with Kodiak. We have Kodiak with us. Don McCarty, Ken McCarty, with us?
Yes, this is Ken McCarty. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, this is Ken McCarty. I'm president of the Alaska Division of the American Association of Marriage Family Therapists. I'm also on the state board for Marriage Family Therapists, and I have a private practice in Eagle River as well as an office in Kodiak.
Please continue.
So I understand that I've read the HB 187, and I like what I read. One of the things I am concerned about is some provision dealing with regulatory investigation and any fees that incur from someone who's done something that's in question or in wrong. What's happened to marriage family therapists is something that occurred some 15 years ago, of which case the Department of Law gave the investigation bill to the board of something like around $250,000. It involved increase in licensee fees, and over 15 years, the licensees of marriage family therapists have had to pay off the bill plus, you know, pay for the existence of the board. The suggestion to add to this, if it can't be added to HB 187, is to have some provision in there stating that every marriage family therapist has to have liability insurance with a proviso for state regulatory investigation fees. Other states have such a statutes. A major insurance company in the country, I've talked with them. They actually are recognized by the Association of Marriage Family Therapists, as well as the California Association of Marriage Family Therapists, as well as psychologists and LCSW, licensed clinical social workers. And they recognize that as a standard in liability insurance, to have such a proviso for state regulatory investigation fees. The burden would be put on the licensees, no burden put on the state. No need for any physical notes because it's, you know, put on the licensees. the end result would be if a licensee were to do something in question, that their liability insurance could be collected by the state to pay for those regulatory fees, and the rest of the licensees would not incur an increase in license because of that.
Well, I think I'm going to help you. I'm probably not going to give you the answer you want, but I believe we did something similar a few years ago with the real estate industry at their request. But given the fact that this bill is not in the insurance section, we'd have to consider doing it as a standalone. But I would be delighted to meet with you and your board, or you and your board, during the interim and get something rolling for next year if you would like. I mean, we can handle it that way. But I think there are other...
That'd be perfectly fine. I know that the bill could go under Title 8, Section 63-100, point 4 would be the addendum. The first three points are these are the requirements to be considered for licensure. Point 4 would just state that you'd have to have liability insurance with that proviso.
Well, we have several issues. One, we're at the end of session, and if we're going to get anything done, it's going to be in the next couple days. But again, if you would like to meet during the interim, I'd be delighted to talk to you, but I don't see a way we can work it into this bill without we'd probably be down here till for another month just on this. But I thank you for calling in again, and please contact Conrad Jackson in my office, and we can plan on getting together whenever we get out of assuming we don't have too many special sessions. But thanks again, Ken. Is there anybody else online? Seeing none, is there anybody in the room left? And nobody online. With that, we'll close up public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Any questions for Crystal and or Don? What are the quick wishes of the committee?
I move House Bill 187 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no opposition, boy, I'm glad I just counted the people. We barely have enough to move it out of committee, and with that, we'll take a brief at ease. Mine's as big as yours is. Now we're back on the record. Next up, we have House Bill 125. We heard this bill last week and took invited testimony. During the testimony, we heard some concerns expressed by one of the stakeholders. Those issues have been addressed, and everybody has a CS in their packet. Today, it's my intent to adopt the CS, take public testimony if the members are inclined to move the bill. With us to present a brief recap are Christy McNally from Representative Holmes' office. Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Christy McNally, staff to Representative Lindsay Holmes. Before you, you have a CS to House Bill 125, which is a bill that will allow for early refill of prescription topical eye medications for patients if they run out before the refill date. The first change that you can note is on page 1, line 8.
We need to adopt the CS first before this
Should I move? Can I have a motion to adopt the CS's working document?
I move committee substitute House Bill 125 version C.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion, and I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by our Speaker Chenault. Please continue, Christy.
Thank you. I apologize for that. The first change that you can find is on page 1, line 8, and it adds the language to treat a chronic condition. And that was just to specify the types of prescription eye drops that are being addressed under this bill. And the second change relates to when an early refill can be requested and how many times that early refill can be requested. The original language was a bit too vague for the stakeholders, and so the CX gives specific parameters that reflect the patient's needs and some policies that insurers already have. And the final change is on page 2, lines 11 and 12, and it relates to the effective date, which will now be January 1st of 2014. And this is just to conform with the administrative practices of the health insurers involved here. However, one drafting error that we do have is on page 2, line 2, and 58 should be 68 days. So we ask the committee for a conceptual amendment with regard to that.
I believe we have a conceptual amendment.
I move conceptual amendment number 1, which amends page 2, line 2, delete 58, and insert 68.
Seeing no objection, the amendment is adopted.
And so those are the main changes, and I'm available to take any questions with regard to that. We also had a change in our Division of Insurance fiscal note. It is now 0, and so we have the Deputy Director of Insurance here to talk about that. And we should also have Dr. Scott Lindstrom of Anchorage online. He's an ophthalmologist to answer any questions that you may have as well.
Yeah, I believe he's online. Thanks again, Christy. With that, I'll remove my objection, and the CS is before us as the working document.
Just a brief question, Mr. Chairman. This sounds like the kind of thing that usually gets policed up all across the country. Is this sort of the first, the last, or someplace in the middle state to consider this fix?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, we will be the sixth state, I believe. Connecticut, New York, New Mexico, Maryland, and the last one's evading me, have also passed this type of legislation with very similar language.
I see. Thank you.
Any further questions for Christy? Any questions for the Division of Insurance? Seeing none, we'll save Marty a trip to the stand. And at this point in time, I think we'll open it up to public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on the bill? Seeing none, we do have at least one person online. Dr. Scott Lindstrom, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for listening. Scott Lindstrom, ophthalmologist practicing in Anchorage, and I also represent the Alaska Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons. And we are in support of the bill, and thank you for considering it. The bill would provide an important avenue for our patients to, obtain refills when they run out of medications, and it's not too uncommon that this happens, and a lot of times the patients will just not refill it until the time that they are able to refill it, and may go for several weeks without their medication. And the primary disease that it's important in is in glaucoma. There's some other diseases that we treat ourselves called uveitis. The patient without their glaucoma medications for several weeks can have a permanent irreversible damage to their nerve in the eye. So we're in support of the bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding how it affects our patients.
Any questions for Dr. Lindstrom? Thanks again, Doctor, for calling in today. Do we have anybody else online? Seeing none and seeing nobody new in the committee room, with that, I believe I will close out public testimony. And before us, we have the CS as amended. What are the wishes of the committee? Any discussion?
Yeah, four.
Nope.
Okay, I move committee substitute House Bill 125 as amended from committee with individual recommendation and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move out of committee, and with that, we are adjourned at 4:20.